Blog Talk Radio.
Big 12 Nation, what's going on? We are back. And this is it, man. This is the final week. We'll do a bowl wrap-up podcast, and then obviously signing day podcast, and we go from there. We got into the Final Four. We got into the college football playoff. I don't care how we got in. I don't care. One team, two teams. They can put two SEC teams in there. So what? Now Oklahoma has a chance to go whoop Georgia and show everybody around this country how good this conference is. So I'm happy. As we all thought, Oklahoma has been rolling ever since they lost to Iowa State. They haven't played any games, and they won that game pretty easily in Dallas the other day. Hats off to TCU for a great season, and let's hope they can finish. Now, right now, before I even get into the bowls, I just want to talk real quick about how a lot of people have been saying that what's the point of bowl games? And to me, with the academic stress and the athletic stress that are on college football athletes, bowl games is probably the only way you're going to be able to go at the FBS level. People say, oh, they do it at FCS. Oh, they do it at D2. They do it at D3. Different type of, like, work schedule, different type of attitude, environment when it comes to those type of levels of competition. Not saying that their level is not serious, because a lot of people from smaller divisions go to the NFL. However, when you incorporate the things they have to do with community service on and off the field, interviews, things of that nature, there's so much incorporated into being an FBS athlete that the bowl season would be hell, along with the exam schedule. That's why you saw last week, after people gave Tom Herman a hard time about what happened to them versus what's the team? Texas Tech, congrats to Cliff Kingsbury. When he said next week's a heavy academic week and then we'll start doing short practices exam week, because that week was the last week of class. To me, that's perfect. You let all your athletes get caught up with their tutors, their friends, mentors, everybody from class, and you get all your academic stuff done that week, because you don't want any BS when it comes time for the bowl game or anything go wrong when it comes time for bringing that championship back to the school. That's one. But the most important reason for bowl games, guys, and then we'll go into the Big 12 bowl games, to me, is it shows who is the best conference. Because all year long, you hear these guys on ESPN, Fox Sports 1, me, whatever little independent podcast you listen to or like the best, talk about their opinion on who the best conference was. When in reality, we don't know who the best conference is. And to me, I'm going to fall on the floor laughing if the national championship game ends up being Clemson versus Oklahoma, because then it's going to show that they always are trying to force the SEC as this great conference, and they're just mediocre. And with Ohio State people complaining, they're saying, oh, well, we should have did this or that. Guess what? You got to go play USC. And if you lose to USC, for the first thing people are going to say to you is, well, ha, 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 show that you weren't really meant to go that far. It wasn't meant for you to be in a championship game. You couldn't even beat USC, who was ranked behind you. Now, as far as the UCF thing goes, Central Florida, I feel like this. I feel like one of these years, if one of those teams is going to defeat, they just need to give them the fourth spot, give it to the three Power Fives, and then if they get destroyed by the number one team, then you just leave it alone. You leave it alone for a while. Or even better, To make it simple, what they could do is just make it a five thing and make number one, whoever finishes number one at the end of the season, they could have a bye. So you could have the four bowl games, but then number one, they play whoever wins in that championship game. So if you're number one, you just are practicing and you're waiting to see who wins, and then you play in the national championship game, and that's it. And then after New Year's Day, you get to go. And then people say, oh, well, they haven't had preparation time for you. Well, neither is the team that's coming in against you either, because they're going to be beat up because they played the other team and they had just as much time to prepare for you as you have prepared for them, and you being the number one team, you're all rested up, you're ready to go, you're healthy. It gives you an edge. Of course, people are trying to argue the other side, but it gives you an edge as far as health goes. So to me, the most important things about bowl games, ladies and gentlemen, is basically you see who the best conference is. You see if UCF deserved to be in a whatever in the football playoff, because they're going to have to play somebody tough in the New Year's Six. You see if Penn State should have been in there. You see if Ohio State really deserved it, or USC. And then at the end of the year, when they do the rankings, they'll do number one, number two, and then they can do number three and number four. So if you win that game, the Rose Bowl? Is that a Final Four game this year? No. The Cotton Bowl Classic is what Ohio State and USC are in. So whoever wins that, they got a chance at a top four or five finish. And then you can make your argument after that. But right now, if the BCS was in place, Oklahoma, I'm good with Oklahoma versus Clemson. I think they're the two best teams. So we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. Do I think they got it wrong? No, because Alabama only had one loss, and it was close to Auburn. And if they would have replayed Auburn the next week, I think Alabama would probably win that game easily. So we just got to be fair, but at the same time, we have to be rational too. But, you know, people aren't. So let's talk about Texas Bowl. Tom Herman will be leading the Longhorns versus Missouri. Missouri's coach was on the hot seat all year. He made a change midseason. He fired his D coordinator, and from there they just took off. I thought they would finish like 4-8 and ended up finishing 7-5. Pretty good winning record overall, and now they're headed to a bowl game. And they're trying to finish the season with 8 wins. Texas is trying to finish the season with 7 wins and just leave with an overall winning record. Texas has some controversy going on because supposedly so many players are skipping out on bowl games. And to me, that's a whole other show. People argue, okay, the coaches get to leave, so the players get to leave. To me, that's two different things. If the coaches get to leave, the players should be like, all right, I should be able to transfer where I want without your permission. You can't stop me. If this next coach wants me, I get to go there, even if it's your rival. Because we've seen how Houston Nutt left Arkansas and went and coached Ole Miss. So we have to understand that realistically, ladies and gentlemen, we have to be fair at that extent. However, when you skip a bowl game as a player, you got to remember, this is the team. First of all, your school makes a buttload of money. And I really want to use a bad word, because that's really the word I want to use. I want to use the SH word. Your school gets an SH load of money from participating in those bowl games. A lot of that goes towards your free meals on campus, your clothing, your locker room, some towards your athletic scholarship, and all the perks you get as a college football player. You remember, these people that you're going to school with, not all of them are going to school for free. They're taking out loans. There are going to be some doctors, lawyers, dentists, and people like that you're going to see down the road. And they're going to have good jobs. Most importantly, when you skip bowl games, you got to remember, if you're leaving that type of taste in your fans' mouth, a lot of these fans are big, big business leaders. They're big business leaders. So, I'm going to say this. I had a friend who I went to high school with, a former friend of mine. He played in the NFL for 3 years, and he was on the practice squad on and off, on and off, on and off. Sometimes made the active roster, a lot of times on the practice squad. As a practice squad member, you get $100,000 a year probably. After taxes, you're making like 70, 80 grand a year. Do you understand that some of these businessmen and business people who donate to the University of Texas, if you don't become a first-round pick and get millions, that you could get out and make 80, 90 grand, 70, 60, 80 grand a year being a business salesperson? Heck, there's some people who work jobs you wouldn't even know. Construction and other things make 60, 70, 80 a year. Now, if that's your dream and you're playing in the NFL, that's one thing. Because if you make it to the active roster, you're automatically guaranteed six figures because of the league minimum is set at a pretty high standard. But we got to understand that when you do those type of things, your NFL career is only so long. Malik Jefferson's great. A couple of the other players might be great. I don't want to sit around and say, oh, you guys don't have a chance at doing good because you always can be proven wrong. However, the percentage of you playing a 10 to 20-year football career like Tom Brady is doing right now is not very likely. So we got to understand that you're taking a big risk when you're doing that. You're turning your back on the people who really love, support, and will take care of you. When you're in a family and you're an alumni, you got to remember, you leaving early for that bowl game 10 years from now, you may want to bring your kids back to the spring game. You want to come back to the alumni players' golf outing. Like, there's so much more with your university. The only time when it comes to an NFL team, you know, if you're a backup on an NFL team, they might not give a crap about you. Only the Barry Sanders and the Hall of Fame guys of the world are the ones that are taken care of, who've won big games and won Super Bowls. You may go to a college for 4 years, four long years. Y'all may not make one bowl game. You may be a backup or whatever, but guess what? Because you played there for 4 years, for the rest of your life, every year you'll be able to come to that game, spring game, golf outing, free whatever. Connections with business people that, you know, connections with boosters that may set you up for the rest of your life. So in the NFL, if you're great, you're set up and you're a Hall of Fame player, you're set up for life. But at Texas, even if you ain't at a Hall of Fame, if you just were a guy who had a full scholarship and you're a role player, you're set up for life because there's so many people throughout the world who got a degree from University of Texas. And when they see that you played football there, they're most likely going to be a football fan, and then that leads you to success your whole life. But whatever you want to do is whatever you want to do as a young person. I'm just saying, finish. Because to me, that looks like when you're in the NFL, you're like, oh, I'm about to be a free agent this year. I just got hurt. Well, I'm not going to try and hurry up and get back and get my team. I'm going to try and stay healthy so at free agency I can get picked up. NFL teams are going to see that, and they're going to look at you different because it's like, okay, you on this team right now, though. You need to help them get their best record because down the road, that lets us know if you go to a new team, are you going to help us get our best overall record or are you just going to bounce out and be selfish and think about yourself? And some people said they don't care, but let's see like how Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette are doing. Yeah, they left, but are they getting rookie of the year? No. They're having okay years, but they're not having the greatest. So this philosophy itself isn't doing that well in general. So whatever you want to pick, that's fine. But let's get to the 23rd, Saturday, December 23rd. We got Texas Tech versus USF. Now, you guys know Big 12 Nation is going to love this game because we get to see good old Charlie Strong coaching against a Big 12 team. And if USF beats Texas Tech, then Texas Tech just beat University of Texas. Oh, I would love to hear. I would love to hear 104.9 the horn in Austin that next day. That place will be blowing up. The line will explode. So that will be a good one. But this is going to be a close one. USF runs the ball. Texas Tech throws it. USF's defense is average. So I don't know. I'm not going to pick one, but I'm going to say either South Florida or Texas Tech wins this in one overtime, like 42-41 or 42-40. I feel like it's going to get to that point where somebody's going to take the chance of the two-point conversion because Texas Tech defense isn't the greatest and USF's offense is explosive and vice versa. So I feel like whoever wins that game wins it very close and they win it in overtime. All right, Kansas State, UCLA. That's out in Phoenix. So congrats to all the K-State fans. They get to get out of the cold weather in December and enjoy them some Arizona sun. And they're taking on a UCLA team that just got Chip Kelly. It's going to be a tough competitive game. I really don't know. If K-State can get – I mean, I'm a Big 12 guy, so I'm going to go K-State like 27 to 16, something like that. However, if UCLA wins, how do I see this? If UCLA wins, though, it'll be a high-scoring game. If Kansas State wins, they'll dominate it. But I'm a Big 12 guy, so I'm going Kansas State over UCLA. West Virginia versus Utah, this is going to be a damn good game. They have two of the, their quarterbacks are different. Utah has an athletic quarterback. West Virginia has a step-back thrower this year. But this is going to be an excellent game, and it's going to be a very competitive game, being that they both run pretty much similar offenses. So that is going to be a dandy, actually. A lot of these games that the Big 12 is in there are all fun games. And this is the Heart of Dallas Bowl. This isn't that far, so this is right in Big 12 country. Big 12 Sports, I believe, Network, or the actual conference, is offices in Dallas. So that's a good deal. So that's really going to be funny. So if you really wanted to, guys, you could go to Texas versus Missouri. You could go to the Heart of Dallas Bowl. And obviously we have people playing in the Alamo Bowl too. So we got some damn good games right here in Big 12 country that if you don't want to spend a bunch of money and fly or drive anywhere, I mean, you got three games right here you can see. So that's awesome. Now we got Oklahoma State versus Virginia Tech, damn, in Orlando. That's going to be a fight for Oklahoma State. You know, the last two or three years, Oklahoma State, I've said the team they played, they're going to win. They have the advantage. They have the edge. This game is going to be a fight for them. Virginia Tech has good athletic offense along with very strong defense. They have the same defensive coordinator as they had when Frank Beamer was there. So this is going to be a fight for Oklahoma State, and I don't know. We'll see what happens. Will they be able to score a bunch of points like they did versus Pittsburgh because that's an ACC team? Or will it come down to one of those days that they're off like they, when they were playing Texas? So we'll see, but that is going to be a fun game. And let's go over the dates. Two games on the 26th. So a day after Christmas, we got two bowl games for Big 12 teams. 2 days before Christmas is the USF-Texas Tech game. And then on the 27th, that Texas-Missouri game. Oklahoma State will be on the 28th. December 30th, guys, the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Iowa State versus Memphis. Damn, that's going to be a good fight. We are in some really damn good bowl games. Memphis beat the crap out of UCLA. And Memphis has an explosive offense. I mean explosive. And Iowa State was known for their phenomenal defense this year for the problems they gave Oklahoma State, the problems they gave Oklahoma, also the problems they gave Texas Tech. You know, those are all very explosive offenses. Let's not even, you know, talk about how they just flat out beat TCU. So this to me is the matchup that's the underground one that nobody is ready for. I think everybody's sleeping on that one. That Iowa State-Memphis game, outside Oklahoma-Georgia, that Iowa State-Memphis game is the one to watch. All the other ones were good, but that's a good one to watch. But to me, it shows how good our conference is and how happy I am for our conference. Because to me, our conference didn't get one bad bowl game. Like, we don't have any teams, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Like, we're not playing a Western Michigan or a Central Michigan or Northern Illinois or something like that. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to that conference. I think they do great. But everybody we play, even the non-Power 5 team, is one of the best Power 5 teams in USF. I mean, UCF, who's 12-0, who people are making an argument for, barely escaped USF, and it was on a special teams play that should have never happened. So this is going to be a fun bowl season. Obviously, January 1st, I believe, let me look at it now, Oklahoma is the first of the Final Four, and OU is in the Rose Bowl. I don't think OU, because of the bowl affiliations. I don't think OU has ever played in a Rose Bowl, or maybe it's their first Rose Bowl in maybe, you know, 50, 60-some years. So in recent times, OU has never played in the Rose Bowl. Or actually, no, OU hasn't. Texas played in it because that was a national championship game when Vince Young was on the team. But I can't remember if OU has ever played in the Rose Bowl in recent times. But fun bowl season. I can't wait. We'll do a bowl season wrap-up show, and it's been really fun, guys. And I want to keep trying to get that website going so it's interactive. I feel like I see ESPN, and I see a lot of Big 12 fans leaving their opinions on Facebook through Big 12. I just feel like, you know, let's get our own website. Big 12 Nation, you can leave your own comments. You don't have to offend anybody. At the same time, you don't have to be ignorant either. But I just feel like we need our own community to express our opinions, because personally, this year, do I believe we should have had two teams in the top four? No, but in years past, when Baylor and TCU were good, should they have been in the Final Four? Heck yeah, they should have. But you see how they made sure that Georgia and Alabama both got in. So things like that I think is important for our community in Big 12 country. I want everybody to have a good weekend. Enjoy the bowl games. If you're a teacher or if you're in education, and you listen to this podcast on your planning period or on the way home or to work, I just want you to, you know, say happy holidays to all you high school coaches out there. You know, good luck in the playoffs. If you didn't make the playoffs, you know, another blessing in coaching another season. And, you know, anybody in business who is going to these bowl games or doing anything around this time of year, I just want everybody to enjoy this December. We all got probably about 2 weeks until the majority of us get a break from this whole work thing. And this holiday season, just enjoy it. And I don't want to sound like a cornball and be like, oh, don't try and give us some, you know, hoorah positive speech. But it's just like, I see so much stuff happen throughout the year, guys, just in real life. And it's just a blessing to be a college football fan in general. It's a fun part of the year, and it's a fun time, and it's always great memories. So we'll catch up after the bowl season. Everybody enjoy your family over the, you know, winter holidays, and everybody enjoy yourself during the bowl season. Peace.